So our gospel reading this morning actually picks up right where we left off last week. Last week we ended with the rooster crowing after Peter denied Jesus for the third time. And the story picks up right after that at daybreak. And we're continuing to move further into the passion narrative and where Jesus was at the high priest Caiaphas's house being interrogated last week. Now we're going to hear that he is taken from Caiaphas's house and moved to the headquarters of Pilate, the Roman governor. So we're moving from the religious leaders' headquarters to the political leaders. So, the gospel according to John, the 18th chapter. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the religious leaders hand Jesus over to Pilate. And there's this little back and forth between them and Pilate that's extremely telling as to what exactly is going on here. Pilate asks them, "What are you accusing Jesus of?" And their answer is, "Well, if he wasn't guilty, we wouldn't have arrested him, would we?" Not really an answer. So then Pilate says, "Fine, then you take him, and you try him by your laws." And they basically say, "We're not going to give him a trial because we're not allowed to kill him." So the injustice of what's happening here is glaringly obvious. They aren't accusing Jesus of anything except being guilty, and they refuse to give him a trial because the outcome that they've already decided on isn't allowed to them. So Jesus isn't being accused of anything, but he is going to be killed. And the religious leaders want Pilate to take care of it. They want him to do their dirty work. Then next, we get the exchange between Pilate and Jesus, where Jesus says, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Truth here is the key. It points us to the heart of the matter. The word truth occurs once in the Gospel of Matthew and three times in the Gospel of Mark and three times in the Gospel of Luke, and it appears 25 times in the Gospel of John. Then there are two words in Greek for true, and those appear only once in each Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but appear 23 times in John. So truth, the idea of truth, is central to John. And it is Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus who is the true bread, the true vine. Over and over, it's Jesus who is true, who is the truth, according to the Gospel of John. So that's key to this whole story. Jesus is the embodiment and the revelation of truth, the truth of God's love for the world. That's who Jesus is. That's why Jesus came into the world, to embody, to communicate, to teach and preach, and in all ways manifest the truth of God's love. Now, the religious leaders who brought Jesus to Pilate, they do not speak the truth. They don't speak the truth of what Jesus had done, of who Jesus is. They're not interested in uncovering the truth through a fair trial. And to be quite honest, Pilate isn't super interested in the truth either. He asks a few questions to try and learn a little bit more, but at the end, he's a cynic who says, "What is truth?" And then walks away from Jesus, walks away from the one that we know is truth. For both Pilate and the religious leaders, what's important isn't truth, not discovering the truth, revealing the truth, or speaking the truth. What's important for them is maintaining their power, maintaining the status quo. And Jesus threatens that. For the religious leaders, he threatens that by challenging their rules, by lifting up the ones that they had pushed down. And in all the ways that he taught and modeled God's love for all people, Jesus disrupted the way things had been done, their system of who's righteous and what makes them better than others, basically what gives them their power. And for Pilate, that disruption of what's going on within the Jewish community, that's disruption for him as well. Because for the Roman Empire, if their subjugated people are riled up, if they are questioning the hierarchy, if they're questioning the religious authorities and the rules that have kept them in their place, then that upheaval, that's a challenge to Roman power and to their status quo. So the answer for them is to have Jesus killed, to silence that truth, to shut it down. That's why they brought Jesus to Pilate in the first place, to take care of this problem. And while Pilate isn't 100% on board with this plan, he recognizes that this isn't quite right. Things aren't being done quite by the book here. At the same time, he wants things to go back to normal. He wants to smooth things over. So he goes along with it, maybe to maintain his own power or because it's just easier. And in the face of this injustice, this unfair trial, really lack of a trial, in the face of this premeditated death sentence for no actual crime. In the face of all of that, even in the face of the cross, which we know is just right around the corner, the truth remains. Now, the good news here is that Jesus is the embodiment and the revelation of the truth of God's love for the world. And Jesus never wavers. The truth remains. Jesus doesn't break, doesn't give in, doesn't say what they want him to say or stop saying what they want him to stop saying. He never stops proclaiming that love. Loudly, and in what he says and what he does, Jesus holds fast. The truth of God is not intimidated. The truth of God is not silenced. The truth of God is not broken. It remains. So what does that mean for us in our lives and in our world? Well, our world is full of injustice. Our world is full of violence, hatred, fear, oppression, right? It's all around us. It's in our own communities. It's politicians trying to criminalize health care for trans children. It's a criminal justice system that fails to be just for people of color. It's war. The violence of war in Eastern Europe. It's discrimination and hatred towards different religions or sexual orientations or political parties. This story, this atmosphere of violence and injustice, this is the world that we live in. And it can be overwhelming. When we really look at it and see all the abuse of power, all of the corrupt systems, all of the injustice and the violence and the hatred, it can feel like too much. Like a lost cause, like there's nothing that we can do. Which is why we need these stories. It's why we need this story today. Because the good news of this story is for us. This good news that the truth of God's love cannot be squashed, cannot be intimidated, cannot be beaten down, which means that we do not need to lose hope, even in the face of all that surrounds us. We can continue to work for change. We can continue to live in hope. Hope that there will be change, because we know how this story ends. We know about the cross. We know about the real violence and the real suffering that comes from this sort of injustice, the real death. We know. But we also know that is not the end of the story. We know that the story continues on into Easter resurrection. We know that life prevails. That God is able to bring life out of death. That is the truth of God's love. That it isn't killed. It isn't silenced, despite what they think. Despite their best efforts, it is not silenced. And it is not shut down. So that is the hope that we live in. That hope that life will prevail. That love will overcome hatred. That justice will overtake injustice. That all of those things that we work towards, none of it is in vain. We are Easter people. Even as we live in a Good Friday world, we live in the hope and the promise that God can bring life out of death, which gives us the strength to keep going, to keep fighting for justice, to keep working for change, to keep sharing the truth of God's love for all people, a truth that cannot and will not die. Thanks be to God. Amen.